Every grain of sand in this land of Tanzania, a land that boasts unsurpassed beauties, attests to its holy past. A past that embraced the cause of justice and freedom for all human beings, irrespective of where they lived. Having attained its own independence, the country's top mission was to support liberation of other countries. One nation that got Tanzania's unwavering support was Palestine. Not only did it break its own diplomatic ties with Israel following the latest aggression and occupation of Arab lands, but under the strong leadership of its first president, Mwalimu Julius Kambarage Nyerere, Tanzania led all the African nations in this mission.
Colonialism didn't help us very much in building institutions. It's only now that we are trying to build institutions, to institutionalize government.
Under Nyerere, Tanzania's struggles were not limited to the continent. Connecting very early on with the struggles of the Palestinian people in their quest to be rid of the Zionist occupiers, the Palestinian cause became the Tanzanian cause.
Tanzania all the time support the Palestinian cause. Since the time of late Mwalimu Nyerere and late Yasser Arafat.
This support of Mwalimu for the cause of justice is held in high esteem by all politicians, including those in the opposition.
Mwalimu made a very strong statement in support of Palestine against Israel. It is clear that Mwalimu, being a Christian, it would have been expected that they would stand by Israel and not by Palestine. But Mwalimu believed in principles. Mwalimu believed in human rights. Mwalimu believed in the right for Palestine for self-determination.
The Africans, through the Afro-Arab cooperation, saw the need to also help not only countries in the sub-Saharan Africa, but even in the Maghreb and beyond the Maghreb. And the force that came in grip with the sub-Saharan Africa, and which got the majority support, was Palestine. Yasser Arafat was a hero in this part of the world, and so Africa, in a reciprocation of what Arafat was doing at the United Nations, we had no option but to support the cause for liberation in the Palestine.
In awe of Mwalimu's firm principles back then, is also the national leader of the opposition party, CUF.
They offered Mwalimu to visit the West Bank, to go for pilgrimage to Bethlehem, which is in the West Bank. And Mwalimu said, no, I cannot go there at this particular time. I will go there when Palestine is free. Because if I go now, I have to pass through the government of Israel. So while I would like very much, being a Catholic, being a Christian, to visit Bethlehem, but as long as Palestine is not free, I will not go to Bethlehem.
That kept Tanzania a bit of an island around us of peace and tranquility, where at least until recently, was crafted around the theme, the values, the principle of seeing ourselves as being human beings first. We only can claim to want to be free if we make the same claim for everyone else.
With the demise of Mwalimu, principles have changed. Tanzanians feel today that they have sold their soul in exchange for economic support from the Western countries, and gradually that foreign policy that was based on support for the oppressed has been moved now to economic diplomacy. In 1990, Tanzania abandoned its first foreign policy that reflected the values it was built on, that all human beings are equal wherever they may be. The present policy of economic diplomacy is concerned with attracting foreign investment wherever that may come from.
The trend is quite different from how it was 10, 15, 20 years ago, whereby anything which was happening in Palestine was seen to be part and parcel of what really was supposed to be happening in Tanzania.
I don't hear much support anymore. I don't hear any statements, and even in Parliament. I think the last time I heard about a very clear statement in Parliament is about more than 8 years ago. But since then, things have changed completely. And particularly after Yasser Arafat, I think we have also gone almost into oblivion now. I really don't know what is happening.
What you see is that we were able to strike a balance, to recognize Israel, but at the same time having a Palestinian embassy here. So we do maintain dual diplomatic relations with the Palestine and Israel, and nobody complains.
But complain they do.
We are being motivated now by very aggressive diplomacy that Israel has been undertaking during the course of the last years in trying to create its position within the African governments, with the African societies. It's a very silent diplomacy, it's very underground, the population doesn't know, it goes straight into the spheres of power. But also, I think the Western powers, America, you know, without mincing words, I think it's very clear the power of the Jews in the United States. So automatically, I think there is a big pressure in the U.S. itself. And of late, our relationship with the U.S. has doubled or tripled. So the investment in Tanzania has also increased. So automatically you would expect that that influence in the U.S. will also spill over into Tanzania.
I'm here at the Tanzania Investment Center, and we are speaking to the executive director, questioning him about foreign investment and different kind of investments that are coming into this country. In particular, how much investment are there from the old friends, the Palestinians, and the new friends, the Israelis?
We have some of the investment which are coming from Palestine, especially in the sector of the construction area, but most of the Palestine community which are here are on the trade. So we encourage more to see them also. They're going not only on the trade, but also going into the really investment. In Israel, we haven't got quite a good number of investments, though we are trying now with this new development which you have, the bilateral relation between our two countries, we are expecting to get some more investment from there. But now we have only a few projects in terms of agriculture and a bit in terms of tourism. Our investment policy doesn't have any political connotation. And this is what we have been strictly emphasizing on that. What I could say, so far we haven't seen any political motivated initiative coming into this.
But economics and politics are closely entwined in today's world. Despite the fact that Israel has not yet managed to open an embassy in Tanzania due to major resistance from Tanzanians, efforts to change this and strengthen ties with Israel are in full swing, observed from the increasing amount of meetings between several Tanzanian ministers and ministry officials and the Israeli ambassador to Tanzania based in Nairobi, Kenya. Though not exactly kept secret, the media is not invited to cover these meetings, keeping the Israeli involvement as silent as possible in fear of public opinion.
Once you adopted economic diplomacy, you are friends to everyone, enemy to none, okay? Which in practice translates into courting big powers, okay? Now here, if you start courting United States, for example, or Britain for that matter, which pushes Israel, then your policy towards Israel also changes.
During the last 10 years or 15 years now, we have gone into more economic relationship with the U.S. and naturally that will silence anybody who eventually would be supporting the Palestinian people who are not giving us anything, will be supporting the U.S. who is giving us something. Normally the mouth that goes into the hands or something carries more weight than an empty hand.
One such change which makes most Tanzanians nervous is the awarding of sensitive contracts to Israeli companies such as the voter registration project in Zanzibar.
You have a company that may be linked to the security of Israel having access to all these identification cards of all Zanzibaris as well as voter registration cards. So I understand that things have moved further than just the question of not providing or not being adamant in supporting the Palestinians.
One of the areas in which Tanzania is closely collaborating with Israel is in the military. We're going through the army barracks here. And because Tanzania generally is very secretive about its military operations, it's very difficult for the media to really understand what kind of close collaborations are there between Tanzania and Israel.
The general public, including the parliament, is not aware of these things. These things were not even discussed in parliament. So it is done a little bit clandestinely. People here within the country don't have that awareness. Not just a common Tanzanian, even quote unquote middle class Tanzanians, even people who are members of parliament. These issues, for example, whether Israel is providing military training to Tanzanians, over three quarters of the members of parliament will not be aware of it. Whether, in fact, there is some support on media houses coming from Israel.
Kama kwamba tuna ubalozi wa Israeli ambao zamani ulikuwa haupo.
Kwa sasa kusema kweli ndugu mtangazaji sijafahamu kama upo.
Sina uhakika sawa sawa.
Na kuwa na uhusiano na Israeli, je, maoni yako ni nini?
Wana uhusiano na Israeli kwa sababu wale ni watu muda mwingi kwa tunapigana nao vita, ni swala la Suria Afrika.
One of the reasons why the Palestinian cause remains so strong in Tanzania is because of its large Muslim population, and most Muslims, almost everyone without exception, is a strong supporter of the Palestinian state, and most of them here actually express a lot of surprise that we actually even have diplomatic relations with Israel. The other complaint is lack of coverage on Palestinian issues in the local media.
Kwa habari kwa habari za kwa vyombo vya nje tunapata habari hizo kama BBC Jerumani matangaza mambo ya mambo ya Palestina kwa hiyo na mimi kwa nasikia sana kutoka vyombo hivi.
Vyombo vya ndani?
Vya ndani kwa sababu kwenye sijasikia sana sana.
Na kuhusiana na vyombo vya habari, unaona kama vyombo vya ndani huko vya habari vinatoa habari za kutosha kuhusiana na mambo ya Palestina ile tu tunajua kinachoendelea?
Havitoi, umejibana sana. Uko nyuma sana.
There's a lot of complaints from common Tanzanians that they want to understand the issues that are happening in Palestine and Israel, but they blame the media because the media does not cover issues and therefore they're not really aware of what is happening. How do you respond to that?
We are reporting, you know, we reported a number of issues, a number of incidents whereby the Israel government is supporting a certain projects in the country. It's been reported. So through that, people are knowing that there's something going on between Israel and Tanzania.
The coverage is basically on a few of those areas. I don't remember when I saw any reportage on Palestine going back as far as, I think, during Yasser Arafat's time.
We are trying to report about what is going on globally. But we think more efforts are needed to write about those issues because they is what makes Tanzania.
Things were quite different, though, in Mwalimu's time. At the time of Mwalimu, when you were the director at Shihata, how did the media support the foreign policy of Tanzania?
It managed to mobilize support from the local people for the liberation movement, to donate money, even blood. The Palestinian cause was well publicized in Tanzania.
Mechi yetu imetikiswa. Tunachotaka ni kwamba nyufa hizo zieleweke na tukubaliane kwamba kazi yetu ni kuziziba na tupate uongozi unaoelewa hivyo.
I see it as a challenge today because you cannot see exactly the policy which we are following, and that reflects in the way we report. To me, media contribution depends on the agendas that exist in a society. At that particular time, the Tanzanian stand on liberation was clear to everybody, so it was easier for media to report.
Right now, issues of liberations, it drowns around Palestinians, but you look in the wide perspective of the world right now, the world is integrating in the issue of economy, issue of development. So after the liberation of South Africa in the in African continents, maybe more now is inclined to see how can these countries benefit from the international, global and economic prosperity.
There's a big issue on the media because even when we make statements, for example, during the bombing of Gaza, we make these political statements that this is against the human rights, and you hardly get any publicity, even if you are a political leader making this particular statement. We have also a Muslim community here. The Muslim community is extremely sensitive on the Palestinian issue. And they do make statements on it, but they are not covered in the media.
Do you think there is any pressure from outside the countries, say from the Israeli policy, for example, in restricting the media in its coverage of issues such as that of Palestine?
Majority of media houses, they don't, not self-sustained. You know, so they'll depend the government, party, even companies to support their business. And I wouldn't wonder to see even the Israelis coming to a media house and ask a journalist or the editor of a particular that newspaper to visit Israel. Then it's easier to brainwash that journalist.
It is not only the media that has been compromised. Fingers are pointed at the government too. Would you disagree that there have been external forces, external pressures now and then in terms of how much we speak out for Palestine, because we don't speak out the way we used to before?
I have never, in the name of God, never received any demarche, received any call or any lobby for the case of Israel vis-a-vis Palestine. Even as we were going to the United Nations, where the threat of Palestinians bringing in the resolution to seek recognition there and later at the UNESCO was looming, nobody came to convince us to do otherwise. Why? Because our support for Palestine cause, the Palestinians cause, is unwavering, is principled, and nobody can uproot it. The world is smart and clever. They know that these are some of the areas that Tanzania cannot be touched.
The government did not come out with a strong statement of condemning the bombing of Gaza. While if it was doing Mwalimu Nyerere, certainly there would be a very, very strong statement. Not only a strong statement, probably even people would be mobilized to demonstrate and to oppose the bombing of innocent people.
What do ordinary Tanzanians think do they see these changes?
It's very difficult for me to stand point of view of Tanzanians now because I can't even see our president commenting anything.
Speed ile bado ipo pale pale ila kidogo imepungua sio kama wakati wa mwalimu.
Sasa hivi naona nguvu imepungua kwa sababu yule bwana alikuwa na kipaji cha peke yake anapozungumza na sikilizwa lakini sasa hivi naona hali inavyokwenda sio mzuri. Kwa sababu msemaji mkuu hakuna kama mwanzo.
But why is the government headed this way?
The government was influenced obviously by Western countries. It found itself partly nowhere to go and partly because it had now to go to the World Bank and the IMF. This policy dictated. And within the country also, I think, a section of the party, of the ruling party of Chama Cha Mapinduzi, adopted this policy.
The IMF is no longer being used for the purposes for which it was founded. It was founded at the end of the First World War by the developed countries, basically, frankly, by the United States and Britain. They are the founders, and until now, they are the controllers, quite frankly.
They took the opportunity of the economic difficulties in the many third world countries, particularly African countries, to dictate their policies through the World Bank, through the International Monetary Fund. Israel is the worst kind of state we have today. And I don't see how any self-respecting country, self-respecting people can have relations with Israel or recognize Israel. So it is pure politics and it is the pressure of the Western countries.
Mwalimu Nyerere is well known to have said that he would not deal with Israelis after the aggression they had shown on any counts. Yet today we have Israelis embassy in Tanzania. We have relations with them in economics, in military. Don't you think that this is going against the very ideals of what we stand for?
Yes, because we do maintain diplomatic relations with Israel. Certainly the Israel government together with the non-government organizations, other individuals have exerted their influence in the continent, in the field of agriculture, in the field of defense, peace, in the field of technology. Somebody was telling me the other day on the question of drip irrigation. All these technologies are coming from Israel, coming in. And we have had delegations after delegations from this country going to Israel, not only for pilgrimage, but also to explore the technological advance and the cooperation that Israel seeks to do with Tanzania. That is okay as long as we are maintaining the diplomatic relations.
It may look okay to the present government, but these thoughts would have made Mwalimu cringe.
If Mwalimu was resurrected, he would like to go back, you know, he would not like to stay here with the kind of changes that have taken place because they're really against his principles.
The more one links oneself economically with Israel, even if one is making radical statements and militant statements, you know, that appear to support Palestine, but on the ground, you know, in terms of the extent to which Israel is weaving itself into the economic fabric of these countries, of countries like Tanzania. I doubt whether, you know, a lot of the civil servants in the foreign ministry actually share, you know, minister members' often colorful, you know, outbursts which support Palestine, but one wonders whether a country that could say those things that he says could at the same time be seen to be cooperating with Israel so closely.
The human values that form the staple diet of every Tanzanian in the heydays of Mwalimu Nyerere are today being shaken to its core. This for economic gains that were to come with the new foreign policy. So, in its 12 years of existence, what has economic diplomacy achieved? And what has been lost? Join me in part 2 as we explore the economic realities and the religious divide.